Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, it's Monday night. Happy Easter time for the Constitution Hour. Hang tight. Here we go.
Never mentions the word addiction. Inserted company. Yes, to tell you she's an orphan. After you meet her family. Keeps a lock of hair in her pocket. She wears a cross around her head. Yes, the hair is from a little boy. And the cross is someone she has on her.
That's the end of that song. Kind of abrupt. Sorry about that. I was in the chat with Linda on Skype just talking. Her mom has been at the doctor with Linda all day. So it sounds like hopefully nothing terribly serious, but she did have some issues, and I'll let Linda share those with you if she decides to call in. Busy day today, boys and girls, isn't it, though? Just a daggum busy day. And, you know, one of the first things I really wanted to talk about was this awesome goings-on that everybody's up in a tizzy about. Oh, wait, I guess they're not really talking about it. But the tizzy I was going to talk about is, of course, the Supreme Court decision, right? And Yola, that would be Linda's mom. She was with mom at the doctor today. You know, there are, of course, seemingly two sides to this decision about the birth control decision from the Supreme Court. And while some folks are out there touting a victory, I think it is a technical victory at best. So folks shouldn't go all slobbery celebrating just quite yet. Now, President Obama was quoted by one of his spokespeople, and I quote, "President Obama believes that women should make personal health care decisions for themselves rather than their bosses deciding for them," Ernest said. Now, if I'm the reporter, I would have said, "Ernest, would that include paying for their health care choices?" Ernest went on to say that today's decision jeopardizes the health of women who were employed by these companies. Again, sir, how does this jeopardize these women? As I understand it, there are four methods of birth control at issue here, all of which cause an embryo to die after conception. Technically, in clinical terms, sir, that's an abortion. So you see, it's not even a discussion of birth control per se. This company provides insurance, and that program offers a vast array of birth control methods. There were four in particular that they could not, in good conscience, pay to provide their employees for the exact reasons I stated. Now, whether they base that on religious grounds or not is a whole other topic. And isn't it sad, quite literally, that in 2014, in the United Nations of America, United States, we used to be nations, each and every one of our separate states, but that's right, we're now one nation under God, and I think they believe that is Obama, but I could be wrong. They might believe it's someone else. I don't know. But from what I've seen, they're thinking it's Obama. That in 2014, the only way that one group or another can even remotely possibly hope to prevail against the Marxist encroachment of the state is to proclaim one of the enumerated rights under the Bill of Rights, the addendum to our Constitution. Never mind that this didn't involve the Second Amendment. This was only the First Amendment. And, you know, we so often forget that enshrined in that First Amendment, there is more than one right that is recognized in that First Amendment. You know, there is the right of religion, freedom of religion, some call it, the freedom of the press, the freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. But now let's put that one to the test, shall we? Because we just saw not too long ago, didn't we, at the Bundy Ranch out in Nevada, that there was a free speech zone established out in the middle of the damn desert where people could voice their opinion. Otherwise, they were subject to arrest if they were not in that specific area. And let's not forget the fifth right encompassed, recognized in that First Amendment, the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And isn't it great that we have the 11th Circuit agreeing that while the First Amendment does recognize that the people have the right to petition their government for a redress of grievances, there is nothing, ladies and gentlemen, within that First Amendment that obligates government to respond to said petition. So while we've got the right to petition the government by the courts, the way the court reads it, you've got every right to petition your government for a redress of grievances, and they have absolutely zero obligation to give you a response in any meaningful way, if at all. Do you still believe you really have a government? I mean, honestly, is that what you call this menagerie in Washington, D.C., masquerading as a government, as representatives? Even if we accept our lot in life as one nation, singular, no more individual states, right? The 14th Amendment presumably did away with that. Even if we accept that, aren't we supposed to be still represented by public servants that are elected to office? Well, no worries. Let's get on with some more of the news. Now, you may have heard, I know that Glenn Beck has been warning everyone for quite some time that the real threat is the new caliphate, right? I mean, let's face it. Glenn's been rattling that sword for a long time. And, I mean, why wouldn't you? Because we are, after all, talking about Muslim jihadis, mujahideen, freedom fighters, and all that good jazz. And, I mean, it's not like we just now, for the first time in the history of our country, started playing bedfellows with these idiots. We've been working with those boys for a few, decades. But, wouldn't you know it, ISIS has come out and declared a new caliphate. Sure enough. So we have a new caliph in chief, or at least in the Middle East. We're still stuck with the same old caliph in chief here in our nation. And isn't it interesting? Has anyone seen the map? I read a story today, and wasn't it funny when they showed the map of this newly declared caliphate? The reporter put a little question mark next to the words "new red line." And I thought, wow, I wonder if he's a listener to my show. I kind of doubt it. But it's obvious to anyone that looks and anyone that knows our history, it is clearly a new red line. And that leads me to this other story. You see that the Pentagon, they seem to be having some trouble. Apparently, Obama is asking for $500 million to help recruit more, moderate jihadists. Now, Obama had submitted yet another $500 million funding request to arm moderate Syrian rebels as opposed to extreme Al-Qaeda cannibals and other ISIS faithful. This is a quote from an article. "We noted the glaring oversight at the heart of this plan when we asked, how will you make the distinction? Well, that's what polling is all about. To wit, excuse me, would you describe yourself as a moderate or extreme Al-Qaeda jihadist? Answering affirmatively to the former assures you your own U.S.-made Humvee and a few thousand rounds to shoot at U.S. soldiers when you cross the border into Iraq." It seems that an array of high-level former officials have submitted to a new plan. You guys are going to love this. You're just absolutely, I mean, honestly, you got to love this stuff. And I did not include from that article, there was a tongue-in-cheek, I think, but you know, these days you can't tell, but it appeared to me to be a tongue-in-cheek jihadist application for government assistance. I wish I could include it in the chat room because it was, I mean, borderline humorous, especially if you're one of the suckers that are still paying taxes, communist terrorist organization called the U.S. government. But anyway, I don't want to digress too far off the rabbit trail. There is a new plan, and evidently an array of high-level former U.S. officials, both Democrat and Republicans, were in France over the weekend. And you know, wouldn't you know it, guys, we heard a very familiar phrase once again, regime change. Golly gee, they are calling for regime change yet again, this time in Iran. Where have I heard, you know, I heard someone talk about this once. Now, you've got an assortment of former generals and senior politicians from all over the world here. Oh, that's a quote, by the way, from Howard Dean, as he headed to the annual rally held by the National Council of Resistance of Iran. Now, you might not have heard of these guys, or, well, maybe you've not heard of them under that specific name. You might have heard of these guys previously. Let me find the name again. This Iranian group. Excuse me. I'm sorry. The National Council of Resistance of Iran. Now, see, formerly, these guys, you know, they've been around for a while. And, you know, matter of fact, I think around 1979, I believe there's a video of one of Obama's current cabinet folks, a guy named Zbigniew Brzezinski, with the charter group of these folks called the People's Mujahideen of Iran. Now, I think you might remember those guys, right? The Mujahideen, we all remember those, the freedom fighters. By God, they were, and they evidently still are. But they have, now, let me tell you, even though they participated in the 1979 revolution that overthrew the Shah, and, you know, then they got the Ayatollah and realized, oh, shit, that wasn't such a bargain, because things didn't get a lot better after the Shah left and the Ayatollah came in. And a lot of folks don't realize that your very own government, the United States government, well, we were rather supportive of the old Shah, you know. But that's okay, because when Khomeini was in, we were kind of supportive of him too, but we had to keep that on the, what do they call that today? We had to keep that on the down low. Because, well, you know, they were holding some hostages. And I don't think the American people would have liked it too much if they really knew that their government was still supporting these jackasses. But it's okay. Because, look, you know, it's not like they're strange bedfellows, guys. We've been with them all along. Except for that little stint where we named them a terrorist organization. But, you know, we changed our mind in 2009 because, after all, they've renounced all violence. I guess all the violent folks in that particular organization have changed their allegiance to ISIS or Al-Qaeda. And I hear the Al-Qaeda guys might be thinking about joining up with this group, because after all, you know, Al-Qaeda, they're pretty timid and they're pretty conservative. They're not very forceful, which is why ISIS had to be formed. just, you know, one of those little things. And wouldn't you know, just the strangest bedfellows in this whole thing, because one of the guys that was invited to speak, aside from Howard Dean, at this meeting in France, which, I mean, you know, the bastion of freedom and individual liberty, France. I mean, how much more free could you get? I mean, anyway, one of the guys that was invited to speak at this little shindig was this guy. You've probably heard of him, too. I think his name is John Bolton. That's the guy. You know, the dude that's got the Captain Kangaroo mustache that's on Fox News, if you still watch that crap. The guy that's been banging, you know, right there with John McCain, bomb, 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 Iran. The dude that's got, he looks like a freaking walrus. Anyway, you know what I think they should do? I think they ought to give old Johnny a damn M16 and a couple of hand grenades and send his ass packing over there to Iraq and tell him, go get him, John boy, go get him. Go kill a terrorist today. Hell, they ought to know where to find him. We fund most of them. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So old Johnny Bolton, he chimed in, and he is just all for more funding for Iran, for this terrorist group to attack Iran and make regime change in Iran. You know, it seems to me we just can't learn our flipping lesson. Can we? I mean, honestly. We wanted a regime change in Iran back in 53. We got rid of the Shah, right? Or Mossadegh, I mean, excuse me. Got rid of Mossadegh and put in the Shah. Well, we see how that worked out in 1979. Look at Egypt. We could not leave well enough alone. We wanted Nasser's behind out of there. We sided with the Saudis. Where did 17 of the 19 9/11 hijackers originate from, boys and girls? That's right, Saudi Arabia. They didn't come out of Afghanistan. They didn't come out of Iran. They didn't come out of Libya. They didn't come out of Lebanon or Hamas or any of these other fanciful ideology-driven schools of idiots. Boys and girls, we are playing a dangerous game, and we have been playing a dangerous game. And now, your very own government is destroying your country right here at home. It's not good enough. It wasn't enough, ladies and gentlemen, that we destroy states' rights and destroy what the Constitution and the founders created under the Constitution, a union. You know, wasn't that Lincoln's cry? He wanted to save the Union. They didn't save the Union. The Union was destroyed, utterly destroyed. What took its place was a caliphate. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't call it that because we're not Muslim around here. But what took its place was a single government with regional offices, if you will. Look at how these people act. When is the last time you saw a state governor actually defy Washington and the White House, Congress, for that matter? When was it? Absolutely, Miss Linda, you're welcome to call in. When is the last time any of you saw a state governor actually meaningfully defy the federal government? I don't mean over the marijuana thing, because believe me, these states that are passing the marijuana and selling it, they are cashing in, and the other states are looking at that going, well, you know, we've lost a lot of tobacco revenues with cigarette sales down and all. But seriously, marijuana may be the only freedom, liberty issue that any state has openly just given the federal government the middle finger over in any recent memory. Maybe I'm just brain dead. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you from my standpoint. Excuse me. I wouldn't get my undies in a big bunch over this whole caliphate mess. At least not the one that's going on over in the Middle East. You know, I told you a couple of shows ago, or maybe it was last show, the Saudis are very mindful of what these boneheads are doing. Let's not forget, boys and girls, when it comes to the jihadis over there in the Middle East, the old Islamic Muslim boys there, the most holy of holies for the Muslims are in Saudi Arabia. The Saudis, I don't believe, are going to just let these idiots come in and take over. I don't see that happening. They might, but I'm kind of thinking that the Saudi royal family has gotten rather fond of the lavish lifestyle that they lead. And I'm willing to bet that they do just about anything to keep a hold of that, including siding with the stronger of the two military actors that they see in the region these days. And that would have to be one, Vladimir Putin, and the Russians. So don't you worry too much about that little, oh, that little caliphate thing. They're not worried about that. Trust me. Yeah, we don't need any of those damn things here, Bill. That's for sure. I mean, the Muslims. And, you know, I guess they're all in Detroit now. I don't know. I see a few of them around. That, what Bill is talking about, where we're taking in over 2 million Muslims per year under asylum, where we have spent millions of dollars fast-tracking these Muslim immigrants into the United States, former terrorists, as far as I'm concerned, from all intents and purposes. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the caliphate you better be paying attention to. This thing that they've created after they destroyed our union, this one nation, well, they're dead set on destroying that as well, because that one nation is simply seen as a stepping stone on the way to the region. And you already know where that is, the North American Union. I've heard some talk about that again today. First time that I've heard the term come up in a while. And I believe we have Miss Linda here from California, if I can get this stupid studio to cooperate. Miss Linda, how are you?
Fine, sir. I'll tell you, you touched on a bunch of stuff. Talk about the government, this communist state we live under. You know, I was finishing up this huge article or magazine that was sent to me when I had asked the gentleman how we fight Common Core, and he gave me this incredible breakdown of this situation, talking about Arnie Duncan and all these things. Well, not okay. I'm just going to read this little quick thing. The U.S. Department of Education was created by an act of Congress and signed into law by President Jimmy Carter in 1979, and it has been gradually increasing power ever since then. Anyway, there are several states now. I think there's a total of 20 that are trying to fight back, but this is so pervasive. I wish I could copy this thing and get it to you guys, just like mail it to your house, because it's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying on this stuff. It's crazy.
Now, say that again, the very beginning about Jimmy Carter. What was passed?
This was the U.S. Department of Education was created by an act of Congress and signed into law by President Jimmy Carter in 1979. And they talk about UNESCO in there constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the UN in this constantly. This is all tied to Agenda 21. They have the same terminology, the same nomenclature, all of it. you've got people from the Council on Foreign Relations pushing this. The word UNESCO was on the other page. I'm telling you, this is Arne Duncan's a freaking communist. I mean, there's no
well. You see, part of the problem is that people just, you know, very, very good campaign has been foisted upon the American people, and we have given the recognition of the linking when you're connecting the dots with these various programs.
Yes.
We just call it a conspiracy theory, and you're immediately a nut job.
You know what? There's a whole bunch of us out here who are fighting.
Well, I know, Linda, but what I need you to do is just trot into the kitchen real quick, and there's a drawer right next to the stove. Open it up. There should be a roll of aluminum foil in there. Just fashion you up a little hat.
I got duct tape,
put that sucker on. I mean, you know, seriously, that's... Now, I want to read some more of this article because it actually dovetails in a way to part of what you're discussing here. And this is this group, MEC, right, they found Jesus and renounced violence. The group renounced violence in 2001.
Oh.
Isn't that awesome timing? And today it is the main component organization of the National Council of Resistance of Iran, NCRI, an umbrella coalition calling itself the Parliament in Exile, dedicated to a democratic, secular, and coalition government in Iran.
Oh,
isn't that a catchy title? Now, and let's see, that would be P-I-E-D, PIED.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't you love these names?
Yes.
This book is just chock full
of
them.
While the MEC's leadership has resided in Paris, now mind you, listen, this is the leaders. So the leaders have been in Paris, France, all this time since 79 or so, right? The group's core members were for many years confined to Camp Ashraf in Iraq, and were disarmed in the wake of the U.S.-led invasion and are said to have adhered to a ceasefire. The group's remaining 3,200 members were recently compelled to move to ex-U.S. military base Camp Liberty. Evidently, they've been providing the U.S. with intelligence on terrorist organizations within Iraq and Iran. Right. How else can we get money to the right group, you know?
What I see, on the international stage, you know, there's not a whole lot we can do other than, I mean, have somebody that's decent. But, like a Jefferson or a Washington who says, please don't get involved with these foreign entanglements. But, you know, nobody listens to anyone except the Hamiltonians. And, of course, I'm almost done with Lincoln. I'm horrified every page I turn. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, boy, this blows David Barton stuff right out of the water. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I understand now why you and Mikey B totally, and Bill Strong, I got to give him credit as well, totally get the fact that the R and the D are identical. They're going, maybe one pretends to be slower, but I mean, when I'm looking at, we got Carter, we've got, I call him Panty Waist Bush, the one. Because he didn't utter the words New World Order, but he had the No Child Left Behind, and that started a huge ball rolling. And then Chmendrick, you know, the Indonesian dog eater that's in there now, he just took the ball and ran with it. Because this was in 2009 when he was first sworn in, he started this crap. Arne Duncan, like I said, who's this Department of Education guru, is a total communist. I mean, there's no, every word that he utters is pure Stalinism, I mean, or Hitler Youth. It's exactly where this comes from. And the Rockefeller Foundation's in on this with Bill Gates. Nice, huh?
That's been a long time. You know who Gates' daddy was?
No, I don't.
Really? You didn't? Oh, my God. I was not aware that you were unaware.
Okay.
Bill Gates' father was part of the eugenics movement.
Lovely. You mean like the Fabian socialists?
Yes. I mean like the Margaret Sangers. And
yeah, that's the those are the Fabians out of England. Oh, absolutely. But I didn't know that it was the father. I just knew that he was. I didn't know how far from the tree, you know, which tree he fell from. But
well,
I do know that he's...
the apple doesn't fall from the tree,
yeah.
Right?
I know. It's wacko. I mean, I, you know, what really astounded me when you talk about the Fox News and this Bolton, I mean, I don't turn it on very much anymore because I can't take it. These guys have got their heads buried in the tailpipe beyond. I mean, you look at people, even Glenn Beck, when he's talking about the caliphate and, you know, they're talking about all this stuff. It's like, are you guys brand new? Did you just, like, get born last night? I don't understand it. And there's a lot of stuff I agree with Glenn on because he does do the founding history. He gets where Jefferson was when the Constitution was written, and, you know, he can fend off the freaks like Piers Morgan on gun control. But some of the other stuff, he's just right up there with the ones who are deluded, and it's sad. It truly is. So,
yeah,
I mean,
Gates'
we're fighting.
Daddy was a philanthropist. Now, you know, as soon as they throw that word in front of your name, you got
so,
a problem.
Oh, so is George Soros, by the way. Hello? I mean, and who did he work for? The freaking Nazis, because he had to save his skin at the age of 15. But then he thought that was great power, so he just, you know, he says why he couldn't get enough of that, so he had to start wielding it. And I'm sure there's several countries that would love to hang him, as well as Maurice Strong, too. You know, the rest of them,
well,
for
know.
Different reasons.
Look, Gates and the rest of them, I mean, I know I've sent the link on more than one occasion of Bill Gates at what's called TED, not the TED, but TED, where they talk about these ideas and whatnot, you know, in an open format. And he was addressing, obviously, he thought a pretty daggum liberal audience, because they were talking about CO2 emissions, right? Carbon emissions.
Right.
And he said, you know, ideally we need to get that down to zero. And he started talking about population.
Oh, boy.
And he said, you know, so what he was talking about is zero population growth to get carbon emissions down to zero growth in carbon emissions.
Jesus.
And he said, you know, world population is going to expand by X number, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And he said, so, you know, through Planned Parenthood and vaccinations, we can bring that down by about 10 to 15%. Now,
so
somebody's got to answer the question. Wait. Do you mean through vaccination programs we can decrease the population by 10%? How does that work? I thought those things were supposed to save people.
Yeah, right. Well, here's my question. When you look at this mess and you see what's happening, I mean, especially here in California and Arizona and Texas and this crap coming from America, and the idiot in chief now wants $2 billion to help the crisis that he created 2 years ago with DACA or the DREAM Act, going around Congress, who is feckless, you know, that's they do deserve a 9% approval rating because 9% can't tie their own shoes. And then you've got, so here's, apparently they want all these impoverished people all up here at once so that maybe they can have us all in America from Rwanda on forward so they can complete their Georgia Guidestones. I mean, is that, so they can have us all in one place? Is that part of the deal? Jesus Christ.
Sure,
I don't
looks like
it.
You know.
Yeah, it sure does.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think is being overlooked here, maybe not totally. I know some people are seeing it. But let's think back to when the U.S. was still fairly young. And we had an enemy, so we thought, an enemy to the progress. And, you know, this should just for grins, let's think about the campaigns that were mounted by the United States government against Native Americans and when those occurred, what the years were, and who the presidents were that were pushing that agenda. Not that they were all just Democrats, but they were pretty progressive.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the favorite tricks, one of the problems that the Indians encountered when we showed up, okay, besides the fact that we had guns and they had bows and arrows, does anybody remember what that, it was a medical problem?
Smallpox?
See, we had diseases. We had diseases that they were not
accustomed
ever
to.
Exposed to. They had no immunity to them.
Immunity.
So how do you, I mean, what if you send a bunch of people from down south, third world country, into the U.S. inundate the system with people that are carrying diseases and things that we don't have any immunity for. We haven't seen those things in this country in, you know, 100 years.
100 years. I know.
Not because of any vaccine program, but because of modern sanitation and things like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we're not in, you know, Somalia or some godforsaken, you know, F-hole. I mean, it's just, it's horrible what's going on. I and that's why people are coming out in, like, I don't know if you were on my show last night. I was talking about that Tuesday night, and I spoke. There was a 3-hour, almost 4-hour meeting. They didn't get done speaking because there was over 100 speakers, and I was one of them against the detention center. And I used your lines from the previous Monday and said that this is tantamount to treason. I got the biggest applause of the night. Yeah, because, you know, ridiculous what goes on. And a lot of this stuff might even be predetermined. Some of these, quote, Delphi meetings, predetermined outcomes, they don't care. They're putting on theater and circuses for us to make us think that we have input. And it's a joke.
Oh, my God.
And nobody
You know, I'm so glad to hear you say that, and I'm so glad to know that people are really recognizing this for what it truly is. And it is, you know, you and I have talked about it. We've all discussed it. It is nothing but bread and circus. It's kabuki theater. These people are, if you think for one minute that they give two craps about what you honestly
think,
they don't care.
Exactly. And here's the thing, Ron. Look, I've been probably for the last 5 years, because I've been standing up in front of city councils fighting against Agenda 21 and the illegal immigration for how long now? Okay. Now, every single one of these vision meetings, now every time I see one and every time I see a council meeting, and I know that then I see how they vote regardless. I've done it in my own city several hundred times, it feels like. Now I'm finally, you know, it takes a while to, you know, the brick has to hit you in the head and you finally wake up and you go, these guys not listening to us. They do not give a rat's behind. They do this to put on a show for the media and the stupid people who continue to vote for them. I'm telling you, Ron, I've seen it firsthand, and this has trickled down all the, not just from the highest oligarchy in D.C., the swamp, all the way down to our local governments. I'm sick of it. We do not have freedom in this country. And in California, believe me, it's 10 times worse. So,
there was some guys online today in one of the forums I go to, you know, the gun forum, pisses me off because I still see that mentality in people, and I want to snatch them up by the Adam's apple and slap it right out of them. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, some guy posted an article about a 19-year-old kid in Texas who made some pot brownies and is facing possible life in prison.
Jesus.
Now,
oh my God.
To be fair, the article was created to elicit a strong response from people who are pro-pot.
Right.
And it did just that. Well, you have to read the article, of course. The reason that the life sentence is even possible is because he didn't use pot per se. He used hash oil, which is considered a controlled substance, which is considered a controlled substance like heroin or and so
it's
a felony.
Strong. Yeah, I know.
Sure. But here's the rub. Okay, if he made a batch of brownies and he used 1 ounce of hash oil and made 5 pounds of brownies, they get to weigh all 5 pounds of brownies and charge him with 5 pounds of hash oil.
Oh, my God.
Now, you see, that's just asinine. So, in other words, not only is he being charged for using hash oil, but he's also being charged for using butter, chocolate, flour, you know, vegetable oil, eggs, butter. I mean, it's ridiculous. And here's the thing that no one seems to understand, or very few of the guys, you know, that are posting on there understand, is that who's the injured party here? Who did this guy harm?
Right.
I mean, did he kill? Did someone eat one of his hash oil brownies and die? Well, then he's responsible for that, at least in part through negligence. No different than a company like GM. I mean, they kill thousands of people with their automobiles, and they're not held responsible, not to the level of life in prison or the threat of life in prison.
Right.
Okay, but then you see these guys come out, and it's, well, but he broke the law. He's just a dang drug dealer. Okay, correct and correct. And, you know, the my daughter-in-law, who's a pharmacist, she's a drug dealer, too. She just has a permission slip from the government.
She has a license.
And, you know, those people like Rosa Parks, who broke the law by refusing to obey the law, they were nonconformist, right? They were violating the law. That doesn't mean the law was just. And nobody today, or very few today, there are still some idiots out there, but very few today would argue that those Jim Crow laws and the other crap that was going on, that was legit. It wasn't.
Right.
We can all agree that wasn't legit, and neither is this crap they're pushing on these kids today. The government has overstepped its authority. And the moment that you allow, the idea that government has the authority to dictate to you what kind of plants you can consume, what you can eat, drink, smoke, where you should sleep, what kind of health insurance you can have, who has to pay for it. I mean, you understand where
it
this
goes
leads.
Down. Right. Well,
you've surrendered any legitimate claim to freedom, sovereignty, liberty, individualism.
Right.
Forget it.
Well, it leads to the totalitarian regimes of the past that have failed, and everyone had to die. You know, millions were slaughtered as a result of it. And you know the names. We don't have to go through Mao and Pol Pot and the rest of it. But I mean, here's the thing. What people do not get and will not get, because they have been namby-pamby, we have a nanny state, we've got progressivism pounded into our heads, we've got political correctness pounded into our heads for 20 years, you've got, you know, bleeding heart liberals screaming, oh, we have to do something to stop the murders in the schools, you know, and the guns, and, you know, people will not go back to the basics about, you know, who the hell people like Jefferson and others were. They would never stand for this nonsense. They would, you know, anything that would trample on your natural rights is a no-no. I don't give a damn what it is. You know,
they did tell us to guard that flower jealously, our own liberty, and we have not.
Well,
we have failed.
And, no, we didn't.
And,
Ben Franklin said it twice. He said, a republic, madam, if you can keep it. And he was the one who said, anyone who gives up one smidgen of their liberty for a false sense of security deserves neither and probably will have neither. I mean, that's paraphrasing.
And we'll have
none. You damn right. And that's what's going on. And it has, we're the frog in the pot. They put it on low, and that's how they've done it. I'm telling you.
And honestly, it's always done, okay? Not always, but damn near always. it's done under the guise of humanitarianism and caring and loving your fellow man. You know, it's this story right here. President Barack Obama will seek more than $2 billion to respond to the flood of immigrants illegally entering the U.S. through the Rio Grande Valley area of Texas and ask for new powers to deal with returning immigrant children apprehended while traveling without their parents. Now, Madam Pelosi, I know that you voted for her in secret. It's okay. Madam Pelosi said, and I quote, "The fact is these are children." No kidding. "Children and families, we have a moral responsibility to address this in a dignified way." Now, you know that they said there are more than 52,000 unaccompanied children, most from Central America, have been apprehended entering the U.S. illegally since October.
Yep.
Now, those are just the ones they've caught, okay?
Right.
Now,
right.
Obama said that
that bastard,
he's tired of it, right? And Boehner has, you know, "I've given you over a year to deal with this, and I've instructed my people to come up with ways that that I can take care of this on my own without Congress."
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you how you
can
do it, sir. President Obama, my God, if there was some snowball's chance in Hades that you were actually listening, I can tell you exactly how to do it, sir. Enforce our laws.
Laws. He won't.
Close the border. Let's call an emergency.
Ship them back.
No non-U.S. citizen allowed into the U.S. for the next six months. We're going to put a six-month moratorium on all immigration into the country. Okay? And we're going to let's get a couple of agencies that just can do a bang-up job, and let's have them focus on helping the Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, and ICE, Immigration, to process these kids and reunite them with their families
in
their
Central
home
America.
Countries.
And can they take Pelosi and Barry with them?
Can we accomplish that? I think Pelosi and Harry Reid should immediately get on Air Force Two or whatever and fly down to, I don't know, El Salvador or Guatemala and set up a reception station and bring in some staff, and let's set up some bureaucracy down there to receive these children and make sure that they're reunited with their families when they arrive in their home country. We could even give them a voucher for a donkey ride or a cart ride or a bus ride to the destination of their choice within their home country.
There's an article that came out in my paper today, which I'm going to address on my show. And just briefly, some of these people who are 12, whatever ages they are, were supposed to have relatives here in the United States. Oh, they've got them. They're not. They are also undocumented illegal alien invaders of this country as well. And that was reported in the newspaper, which is probably as progressive as it gets. But
you know, and I'm glad. I'm starting to see a pattern here that all these kids have some kind of relative here in the U.S. I think I know what's going on now. I really think I know what's going on. See, they're I don't think that the news media is reporting this correctly. I think what happened is that these people have been fed a line of rhetoric and indoctrination in their home countries, and their teenagers were so concerned about their relatives that they heard were being held captive in the U.S. that they've come up here trying to seek them out, take them back home.
Oh, no, that ain't
now,
it.
Look, I think we should be able to reunite them all with their families in their home country.
Fact.
this is a good idea. And I don't see why it wouldn't work. I mean, what caring adult would not want to reunite these children and their extended family with their family back home where they're from? I mean, honestly, that just seems the humanitarian thing to do.
That was brought up by the public, who was ticked off at this Escondido detention facility, by many people who are against amnesty and all of our Tea Party people, believe me, more than once. And, of course, the guy who was running the meeting, he was the planning commissioner, and he was every 5 minutes he would say, well, we must keep it to the zoning. You can't talk about this. Well, none of us listened. We talked about what we wanted, and we got applause. Tough. He tried to keep the applause out, too. We didn't care. You know, we're not playing his game. He can recess all he wants. No, there was 500 people, and there was over 100 speakers. It took 3 hours to get through that. I mean, I'm glad. And we had, I'm not kidding, there was media trucks everywhere. That's the first thing I noticed, tons of them. It was great. We made the front page the next day, too.
I got another idea. that one might be too off the top. But, I was saying, all these kids, look, why can't we take them on a field trip to the World Cup? I'm sure they could do well in Brazil.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It seemed like a good idea.
It's crazy what's going on. I mean, people, I'm reading every article I can. I'm watching the DVDs. I'm seeing people who have doctors who are going up against Common Core. They're putting the dots together. They have tied this in with the ACA and Agenda 21 quite clearly. And, very few people in the state of California will even listen to me. So it's like the doctor keeps telling people, well, if it hurts, stop doing it, because I'm batting my head against a stone wall, it feels like. And it's really not fun, but that's what I'm doing. So, and I'm trying to come up with, information and ways of conveying what's true and what's happening and where it's coming from. And that's why I'm so grateful for the items that I did receive on the Common Core and the Agenda 21 and tying it together, because it's in black and white. And, every time I read something new, it starts to solidify that, hey, this guy hasn't been telling me the truth on this. Yeah, he might have a smattering of truth there. But, you gotta look at it in a broad sense, because Glenn's not going to be 100%. I'm not going to be 100%. David Barton's not going to be. I mean, everybody has got their own view of how to look at history. But that one you're giving me makes a lot of sense, because that seems very factual. When you see the newspaper articles, this is prior to the Reconstruction period and all the rest of the nonsense. And when you see the northern papers coming out for secession, because that's what this country was founded on. We tried to, except Hamilton wanted mercantilism, the schmuck, and Lincoln followed suit. And the Republican Party was not a good party back then. This guy was bad. His party was bad. The Reconstruction was bad. All of it. I mean, they were doing stuff that obviously other people in the mainstream are not going to tell us about.
It was horrid. It was absolutely horrid. And I had the conversation yesterday evening, and I just gets blown off. But the conversation about what precipitated the Civil War. And it's really simple. It comes down to a single moment, a single concept. And you are, if you've read that far, you already know that in April, they had a vote whether or not to resupply Fort Sumter. And they voted against it. April 1st, as a matter of fact. And
okay.
Why? Because they knew without a doubt that if the North tried to run a military ship into Charleston Harbor under the guise of resupplying the fort, it would be seen as an aggressive act of war. And Lincoln said, yeah, but, we'll get the sympathy because we're just trying to bring bread and meat to our soldiers who are starving, which couldn't have been further from the truth, because they weren't.
Right.
Now,
there was
Here's the rub. April 15th. There's a date that'll live in infamy. They took another vote and said, well, by God, we think we should resupply. Let's go for it. Now, you have to ask what changed between April 1st and April 15th. And what changed is someone tapped them on the shoulder. Go look at the names of the people who were voting. They were business owners. They were merchants from the north. And they were told, you know, if we allow the South to secede, they won't be bound by the new tariff act that was just passed. But you will be. See? So you're going to be paying taxes, and you're going to have to pay import tariffs on goods that you're getting from the South. And they said, well, crap, that's going to increase the cost of our goods. We need to resupply the fort. That's what we need to do.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, what I, the part that I was reading between the right to secede and, of course, the whole evil part of the war and the last part of the war where Sherman was, you know, doing the scorched earth thing like Stalin and Genghis Khan, for God's sake. Oh my God.
Yeah, well, it wasn't just Sherman. It wasn't just Sherman and his march to Atlanta. I forget the general's name now, the guy that wheeled off and went up through Virginia and just,
was
another one.
Huge.
And wasn't
horrific.
Wasn't there something in the Constitution about creating a state within the boundaries of another state? How did we get West Virginia? Well, oh, never mind.
Yeah. And that was good old Lincoln. And according to the people who were against him and those who were the historians and checking this out, were saying he was violating not only the Constitution, but international law. I think that didn't they have the Geneva Convention even back then or shortly somewhere in that, read?
Now that you mention that, see, the convention at Geneva came closely on the heels of something else that Lincoln had instituted called the Lieber Code.
Yes, yes. And that's another story.
Your Constitution was suspended. It didn't exist because the entire country was under martial law.
Yes.
And martial law, according to the Lieber Code, is evidenced not by a proclamation by the invading government. The evidence that you are under martial law, according to the Lieber Code, is the presence of the troops of the offending party, the government.
And here's the other thing.
Aren't there military bases in just about every state in the United States still
today?
Oh,
my God. Yeah, I'm a little too close to one of them. The biggest one that I heard in the nation is 29 Palms, and I'm not too far from that either. So, because I've talked to a lot of Marines around here. These guys are pretty savvy. What else he did, which was really horrific, was for his entire term in office, he suspended the writ of habeas corpus. He was violating the Third Amendment, probably the first. Yeah, the first, because he was imprisoning the press. He was violating the Second, probably the Fourth for sure, and anything else you want to name, all of them. I think all 10 or 10 at the time. The first whatever was going on then. I don't know how many they had at that time.
I'll
give
you one
better.
He just violated the entire damn Constitution and Bill of Rights. And then came out of Reconstruction is this monstrosity called the 14th Amendment, which nullified the damn Constitution and created one nation.
Well, it's got your totalitarian BS, and that's why we're fighting. We're fighting inside this bubble, Ron, that you understand is like we feel like we're drowning, and there's a reason for it. All you got to do is start reading, and you get it. And you start with Hamilton and those clowns. And then you see the opposition, like the people of Ron Paul and Thomas Jefferson and people who had common sense and understood that's where the freaking whole idea came from of this idea of freedom, an idea of America, was of natural law. This was back in Montesquieu and Locke and all these guys, the brilliant ones.
Yep, that was
my God. And
that
they,
was the whole
where do you
idea.
Think they got? They got it from Matthew and from Isaiah. That's where they got it from.
You know, and they got it from a couple other guys, you know, and I've talked about those people. I've actually included some of their, you know, Black's commentaries on the law. Go read Black's commentaries. The guy was brilliant. And that's where, the, you know, and they have twisted and perverted.
Yes, perverted. Oh, my God.
Ideology. I had somebody
like
posed the
shop.
Question today. Yeah. Somebody posed the question on one of the forums today. How much longer do you think until the United States is dead? And I said, what do you mean, how much longer? You better go back and read your history. The United States died in 1867 with the Reconstruction Act and the 14th Amendment, dude.
Just tell them,
what planet
it all happened in 70. It all happened by 70 A.D., honey. It's done. Fulfilled.
I mean, just my goodness. And you know, so, okay, they're going, well, you know, a democracy normally lasts about 100 years. I said, well, let's take a look. I said, it's not a democracy, first of all, or
it's
it wasn't intended to
was.
Be. But let's take a look at it from 17, what, 78, 1781,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
But okay, so let's take a look at what we ended up, what was it, 1767? Well, you know, what do you got there? Damn near 100 years, don't you?
Right.
Now,
yes,
if you want to go from 1867 till now, well, that's a whole other animal. But you see, it's one of those situations that it's the government, and as George Carlin has aptly put it, you know, these people don't pass through a membrane from another dimension. They come from us.
Yeah.
They come from society, and they're the best we have to offer, right? So we got to blame ourselves. We really do. And I think part of the downfall of these idiots is going to be the fact that we are able to educate ourselves now through the internet.
Yeah. Right.
We don't have to accept the bullshit revisionist history that's been shoved up our butts.
Right. And we have what you and myself and others who actually understand what a real book looks like and have the pages and the ink on it and everything else, okay, like Terry Rowland and I love, because she and I era, and that's how we, and when you see it written on that printed page that has, you know, all those trees, and the environmentalists will love this one, so they could make the page how I learned best, because it imprints on my retina and it works and I can remember it. And that's what people don't do. They will not educate themselves. You can't, you know what I'm saying? You have to understand your history and you have to educate yourself, or you are going to go the way of, you know, the poor clowns allowing themselves to be duped by the German Nazis. Say, okay, here's the guns and the radios, and then we'll pack our bags and get on the damn trains. I mean, that's
well, you
we
know,
are right
I,
now.
I've tried to tell people, and I get in trouble sometimes, or I get chided, I guess, for saying it. But it, honest to goodness, it's the damn truth. Perception is reality. In the mind of a man or a woman, what you perceive to be the truth is the truth, whether it's accurate or not.
Right.
Does not matter. And so there's this whole slew of people out there, and their logic, what they think they're applying as logic, is so twisted and convoluted, it clouds their ability to see the truth, because one of the hurdles is that would mean that they're wrong. Okay? And
right.
I must admit that I am one of those people that suffer from that affliction.
And
I think
too.
Everyone
it's...
does to some extent.
Well,
you know,
look,
going back
I...
to the forum, going back to my forum discussion with the guy today about the hash oil brownies and the life sentence. And the one guy is a cop, okay? And he said the problem that he has with legalizing marijuana is that there is no accurate test to determine how stoned a person is. He said, for instance, with a DUI, an alcohol test, we can tell how drunk you are.
Right.
And the drunker you are, right? The drunker you are, the higher the punishment.
Right.
So that's his concern. And I said, you know, my problem is that you and people like you cannot see how ignorant that ideology is. Let's turn the table and let's apply that to something that you advocate for, gun rights. Let's say that a violent crime committed with a gun doubles the penalty versus one that was committed with a knife or a baseball bat. In fact, if you were drunk when you were using the gun, oh, that's life in prison, even though all you did was negligently discharge that firearm in your backyard and didn't harm anyone. Now do you see how stupid that idea is? We have natural law on our side. Mm-hmm. When you injure a person or their property, or you trespass upon them and
right.
it causes them to be separated from their rights, like the right to be left
yeah.
the hell alone in their own home, then you have an actual injury under the law, what's called an injury in fact.
Mm-hmm.
We have laws to deal with that. Irrespective of whether you were drunk, stoned, or using a ball bat, a knife, or a gun when you did it. And you see
right.
how it gets twisted, because suddenly, in this, in his mind, the alcohol is the weapon.
Oh,
so
oh
now we're
going to
blame the alcohol, and we're going to punish you. We're going to give you twice the punishment. Your sentence is going to be twice. The drunker you are, the higher the fine, the higher the penalty, the more time you're going to spend in jail. I said, do you not get that? Okay, if you're using a .22, it's 5 years in prison. If you're using a .357 Magnum, it's 20 years, and by God, if you're using a 50 cal Desert Eagle, it's life, buddy. Do you see how asinine that is? You're blaming the tool instead of the person. You're sidestepping responsibility.
So, in a sense, if you take it to the logic or the illogical conclusion, they are putting the gun on trial. I mean, if in one sense, the gun doesn't go into the prison cell, but the person does. So, or neither does
right.
the axe,
the gun
knife,
is not
or
the
rock.
One being punished because it's an inanimate object, just like alcohol. It's just
it's
liquid
I know,
in a container. It's the human action that causes the negligence
yes.
and the harm. Okay, so stop blaming the damn booze, stop blaming the pot, stop blaming the gun,
I know.
Stop blaming
I know.
The knife, and start blaming the human being.
It's
called responsibility
crazy.
For your own actions.
Well, see, here's the thing. Everybody has forgotten that in order to have maximum individual liberty, one has to have maximum individual responsibility, Ron.
Responsibility,
and,
yes.
And the progressives want you and me and everybody else to pay for their irresponsibility or their lifestyle, their freaking birth control or their house. Or I mean, it's not.
Well, and, you know, and the whole look and the whole birth control argument is a farce. Because you and I both know, and I think everybody else out there would agree, unless they're just dipshits, it's not responsible behavior that causes the need for an abortion to arise, is it?
Right.
If
right.
the people,
exactly.
if these people were exhibiting responsible behavior, abortion wouldn't be a damned issue at all. But it is because they're not.
And if they look,
the
Ron,
same
if they
applies
want,
to health care
right,
or health
they
insurance.
Want to have,
God, I got to quit calling it that.
I know. If they want to have immoral behavior and go out and strip everything on the planet, that's fine. They can do that. But if they don't want a result of pregnancy, why not go and take a veil of the very age-old snip-snip and take care of it? I have people in my family who've done that on both genders because they didn't want to have pregnancy after life.
See, this is the one time where I can come down on the side of the eugenicist. Hey, I'll tell you what. Here's the deal. You want me to pay for your birth control? Not a freaking problem at all. But here's what we're going to do. Since you have demonstrated to me that you're not responsible enough to take care of yourself, that means you're not able to tend to your own affairs. That means you are, under the law, incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
And you're asking me to be your ward and cover
mm-hmm.
the costs There is a procedure that I'll pay for. And that's a procedure that will ensure that you will never procreate in your entire life.
Not,
I'm in.
Not the way God
I'm all in.
Yeah. Got it.
I'm all
in. All
I,
in.
Otherwise.
I'm not a eugenicist either, but, you know,
way.
Look. Yeah, I know. Pay for it. Do whatever. Pay for it. I mean,
I don't have a problem with charity, but this isn't charity. What they're talking about,
putting a gun.
The mandated health care and all this other crap, that's not charity.
No.
That is called extortion.
It is.
And blackmail.
It's with the gun to your head because they're forcing people to do things and forcing them to change their behavior, Ron, whether it's Common Core, ACA, or whatever you want to talk about, paying taxes, Agenda 21. They're forcing people through this coercion, and we know what they're doing. They're doing it in some instances by dangling the carrots in front of these political, excuse my French, whores in every local government. And they are. That's what's going on.
We don't have to look. We don't have to look very hard, do we?
Right.
To see the results of the policies of the nature of the ACA and others. Because truly, when we talk about poor life choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone can be a millionaire. Not everyone can be gainfully employed and have a job. I get that. But when we enable people, when we make it comfortable to be a parasite,
in their poverty. Yes.
We get more parasites, okay? And if you need proof of that, ladies and gentlemen, let's go right back to this article here. Let's see. We're not enforcing our immigration laws, right? And what do we get? Since October, 52,000 illegal immigrant children. You're getting more immigrants by the day. Why? Because we've told them, we know our law says this, but don't worry. We're not going to enforce our law. We're going to look the other way. And we're telling these bums that want to sit on their butts, hey, don't worry. It's not you. The problem's not you. It's us. We just need to be more understanding here. We're going to give you a check. That should help
you
get through. And here's a benefits card. And you know you can go to the liquor store and buy some booze with that, too.
Well, go down to Vegas and put your money in the slot machine. I mean, it's crazy. Look, everything that I've written, Economy 101, F.A. Hayek, Von Mises, everything that you've given me, all of the stuff that's come down with the Georgia Guidestones, what I've learned about Agenda 21, what I see going on today with something progressive, which is pretty much communism right now. I mean, it's not full blown Stalin, but close. And
I understand. You don't have to. We're not trying to pander to Mr. Brown in California and his ignorant rantings.
The thing is that, like I said, if you just get a couple, three or four books, just educate yourself. When I used to read from Hayek's Road to Serfdom on my show, that book was written over 80 years ago, Ron. It was like it was written last month. It's very relevant.
I know.
You've got to understand what Marxism does. I mean, if that's what
wants
in this country.
And you know, I've mentioned it on the show several times. I'm glad that you got one of my book recommendations with The Real Lincoln.
Yes.
And I'm going to mention this book again because if you truly want to know what I think is coming, I think you ought to read this book. And it is called The Sovereign Individual by James Davidson and Lord Rees Mogg.
Wow.
Read it. It was written in 1996. And I've read excerpts from the book, you know, off of Amazon's website.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they talked about in that book the upcoming technology and how technology was going to give us more autonomy as individuals. They also talked about the coming rise of the Muslim incursion that was going to supplant the Cold War. They talked about a breakdown of governments. They talked about a breakdown in the monetary system.
Yep.
And a breakdown in the nation state. And you're witnessing it right now. And, you know, the really sad thing for me As much as I really want to snatch some of these people up by the Adam's apple and just slap the bedevil out of them for being so freaking narrow-minded that they can't see the reality in front of them, I don't hate these people.
Right.
And here is what I see. Here is what I see happening. Okay. We're creating, we have created, and we continue to create a large dependent class.
Yeah.
In this country.
In the wagon. They're in the wagon, Ron. And they're encouraged.
Yes. And an ever dwindling population of people who are pulling said wagon.
And when that wagon stops.
Soon.
All
yes,
hell
very soon. The wheels are going to come off the wagon. The gravy train has left the building. And who do you suppose the dependent class is going to blame? They're going to blame those of us,
the wagon pullers,
that have been pulling the wagon. And not once will the thought ever cross their mind of who was standing at the gate encouraging them to jump on the wagon.
Yeah, the communists. Well, Ron, unfortunately for them, they are also sucking up the Kool-Aid of the progressives and the purists, and they're not arming themselves. We're the ones.
Nobody told them, oh, don't worry, comrade, get in the wagon. They go to gas chamber. You'll be very happy there. It's a real gas. You laugh like crazy. Yeah, nobody's told them that. No, hell no.
Uh-uh.
Hey, it's a free ride, man. Come on. Guys, dude, it's a free ride. That's all they're hearing.
I know.
You know, and they're,
they're
running around in the inner cities laughing, calling us suckers. We're not the suckers, guys.
Yeah.
Better pay
that
attention.
One,
y'all are the suckers because you're getting
the one you sent
you're
me,
getting shafted.
That video talked about the worst places to be when it hits the fan, and I think it was London, D.C., Los Angeles, and I think New York City. LA,
yeah, the big metropolis areas. Atlanta's one of them. I have no.
I know.
Trust me, I don't have any twinkling in my eye that this is a good place
to
be.
I got to tell you, I'm in a place that's about 80 to 85 miles south of the border of Los Angeles, but I'm in a very large city. I'm stuck here. We're in density groups. We've got gangs all around us. Tons of people on very. There's people who are unprepared. This is a libtard. I don't want to be here when this thing hits. I swear to God, I don't.
Honey, I'm going to tell you right now what you need to do is get on the internet and learn how to hotwire a freaking boat. Hotwire a boat.
What? Really?
A boat. A large. Oh, yeah. You're right there on the ocean, aren't you? Isn't there a pier somewhere near you? Okay,
real
so
close.
Find
it's
you.
A marina.
There you go. So you go to that marina and you pick out your victim, which one you want.
Okay.
When the S hits the fan, so you can crank that sucker up and say, sayonara, boys, my butt's out of here. Mom, you're coming with me. I'm not even half joking.
I know. I agree with you. Thank you, because I had no other way out. There's no roads that are going to get me out of here. Nothing.
Yeah, forget about that.
If you saw my terrain and my freeways, you'd know exactly what I'm talking about. It sucks. I've looked.
Yeah,
everybody
and their brother is going to be on those roads, and it's going to be a disaster. Now, if I was in your spot, I was in your spot, I would have already been down to the marina and on several trips, and figure out what boat is there day after day, night after night, never moves.
Mm-hmm.
The guy shows up twice a year to take it out, and then he leaves, and it sits there, and he pays the flip fee. That'd be the one I'm looking for. And when the stuff hits the rotary oscillator, my butt would be on that boat. I'd be out to sea. And I'd just go on a nice little cruise with Mom, Give it a month,
Absolutely.
You can swing down.
Calm down.
Heck, you can swing up to Ketchikan. They're not going to be up there. And, pull into port there and get provisions and supplies.
How about
you can rest assured.
I don't know. Acapulco, maybe, because, I don't know. I don't know where to go. It depends on the size.
If you get through the canal, you'd be all right. But, that's the thing. You got to figure out. See, once you pick your victim, then you got to figure out, learn everything about it so that you know the range of that boat and you know where you can go, how far you can go before you got to refuel, those kind of things.
Yeah,
I'm dead serious. You should.
I know.
I hate
you're
to be
right.
like that, but
I know. Well,
at that point, it's every man
fantastic.
For himself, you know.
I know, and you're running out of time, and it was fantastic. Thanks for having me on and letting me rant and stuff. I mean, I'm so excited for Delaney. I'm just keep my mom happy and healthy until I can go and tell my sister, you know, of her medical needs and stuff. So we're going to miss you. You and Penny would be fantastic, but we'll figure it out. You know, we'll see what's going to, you know.
Absolutely.
Hopefully won't. Yeah. And you guys have
a
blessed
evening. I know you guys
you know.
Are going to have a.
Oh, huge.
I know you guys are going to have a great time. Thanks for calling in. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I know we had Miss Yola and Mr. Nick here, Miss Linda calling in from California. We got our own Mr. Bill Strong, Mr. Doc. Doc, always good to see you. And I think we may have had Rod Luke trying to get in. I know BTR can be quite frustrating at times. Guys, don't forget, here tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Bill Strong and the Hoot and Holler crowd from up there near Delaney Creek Park. And then Wednesday night right here, Miss Linda Sills with Right from the Left Coast. Thursday night at 6 p.m. to 7:30, we'll have Miss Terry Rowland with Patriot Education. And then at 9 o'clock, I'd encourage you to tune in for Higher Truth Radio. Now, Mikey's not on the Patriot Family Network, but he is a friend of the Patriot families, and we definitely want to encourage everybody to listen to his program as well. A lot of good information. Yes, everybody say a prayer for Miss Linda's mother and also for Miss Linda, who's having to help her mother, and that can be a very stressful situation. So we want to send our prayers out to both of them and to all of our Patriot family and listeners and friends and even those that we see as adversaries, we should be praying for them as well. Guys, I want to thank you for tuning in. Another one in the can, as they say. And we will see you guys later on. Have fun down there in Delaney Creek Park. I know you guys will. God bless. See you later. Bye-bye.